to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We thank you so much for joining us today. We are talking about emotional health this morning, and we're asking you the question, are you emotionally healthy? Is your spouse emotionally healthy? If you guys are not, one, two, or both of you are not, what are you doing about it? Do you need some advice? Today is a great day to get those questions answered. So give us a call at 855-454-5905. Let's go right to the phones. We have Demetrius. Is that right? Okay, we have Demetrius calling in. I just wanted to make sure I had it right. Yes, calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning. Are we saying your name correctly? Demetrius?
It's Demetrius.
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 Sorry about that.
So, Demetrius, what is your comment or question regarding our topic this morning?
Actually, my comment was just that I heard someone mention that some women just feel like they just may have to be with somebody. Mm. But I think, actually, it's just, it makes things a lot easier at times. They just want a spouse around and have someone to talk to because, you know, you can't vent to any and everybody. But having a spouse kind of just makes things a lot easier.
Well, so are you married?
I'm not married. I'm a single mom of six, and
wow,
I'm not dating.
And are you dating or not dating?
No, I'm not. Okay.
So you believe in your, so now you have six kids and you're a single mother. You think it would actually be easier if you were married?
I actually do, yes.
Now, what if your husband has six kids too from previous relationship and he's dysfunctional? How would that be easier?
It would be easier because we would actually be able to work together with the things that we are having issues with.
Wow. Okay. That's an interesting way to look at it.
Right.
Wow. Wow. And
sometimes
so are
just
you
having someone to talk to makes things a lot easier.
So you would like to be in a relationship right now?
I would be. Yep. I would enjoy having a relationship right now.
Okay. All right. Well, I really do appreciate you sharing that. And I know it will take a very special man to love you and, you know, love your children that way. But thank you. Thank you. We really appreciate your call, Demetrius.
Thank you.
God bless.
All right. Take care. Let's go to Paula calling in from Delaware. Paula, good morning. You're live on the air.
Morning. How are you both?
Good.
Oh, we're doing
good
great. We're doing great. Actually, we have an in-studio guest as well. So I'm here. I'm Marcos, and I'm here with Tiffany and Crescenda. So we thank you, Paula. Thank you for your call. We are talking about emotional health. What is your comment or question for us this morning?
Yes, I was listening to the caller before Nicole about marriage and talking about divorce, where she was in
the one that's
marriage.
About to sign her divorce papers, but she's still, you know, with her husband emotionally tied.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I can relate to that. The reason why I'm saying that is because I'm kind of listening to her, and it kind of was my own testimony as well. And I'm in a marriage, and I have been separated from my husband for 7 months.
Okay.
And the reason why, we was married about 2 years, well, we still are. We aren't divorced yet. And I'm still stuck in trying to make that decision. We did go to counseling. And my husband is, I didn't know him very long before I got married. I'd known him for, it was 6 months. And because of my my Christian walk with God, I said that, you know, we have to get married if we want to go on with the relationship. You know, I'm not going to be, you know, committing adultery. And we did get married, and we didn't know each other. And once we got married, we moved into a home together, which we bought, and
okay.
Seemed like everything fell apart. He began to disrespect me and say all kind of things against me and, you know, to his family, his coworkers, and, you know, even calling my church where I attended,
wow.
You know, trying to say bad things to my pastor, which they, you know, automatically began to direct him into letting him know that that was not of God.
Mm.
And he was attending church with me, and I thought that this was the right thing, but he didn't want to pay his tithes, and he began to come against me with paying my tithes. But, you know, it just escalated to a lot of things, to where I said, you know, I couldn't stay in the home anymore, being disrespected and coming home from church and finding, you know, my clothes threw on the floor and, you know. And
okay, well, Paula, let me stop for a moment. First of all, let me say thank you for calling and for wanting to get some direction. It sounds like you haven't given up, but you have obviously been hurt. So you left the house.
Yes.
So he's in the house, and where is he in terms of the decision you've made in terms of getting divorced? Does he want the divorce as well? Is he confused? I mean, where is he?
He's very confused. He, one minute, you know, he threatens me with the divorce, and the next minute he says he wants his marriage, he wants his wife. But I think he's older than I am, but he's very immature. He doesn't want to share. He doesn't want to. He's not a giver. He's very selfish. He just doesn't want to share, like, coming together as one as a husband should in the marriage. You know, he comes against me. He takes every advice from everybody else, coworkers, family, and he attacks me with those things. He doesn't reason with me, and he doesn't want to. He doesn't understand my relationship with my daughter, which is not his, obviously.
Okay. Paula, let me stop you for a minute. I hear all the problems he has. I haven't heard not one thing that you need to do differently. And I'm just going to be really frank with you. I believe you that he's emotionally immature, but mm-hmm. so are you. All right, you're very immature. I mean, everything you're saying and doing, it's just very immature. First of all, you made the decision to marry him, like you said before. You didn't wait. Yes, you wanted to do it for the right reason, but that still doesn't give you, you know, the right to say, hey, we're going to rush into this. The mature way would have been, yeah, we don't want to be intimate. We don't want to fornicate, but we're going to do this the right way because we're going to build on solid ground. You didn't mm-hmm. do that. You didn't know this man. You barely knew him. You married him, and you made a choice. You made a very grown-up, mature decision, but you were immature about it. And now, when I hear you talk about him, I'm like, my goodness, Paula, this is, you're not building him up. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure there were some good qualities in this man that you married him. I mean, there had to have been. I don't think you're out of your mind where you would have married a guy that's all bad. So mm-hmm. those qualities are there. And it sounds like he is confused. But I don't usually go there, Paula, but I even want to address one little thing that it kind of bothers me a little. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why it bothers me. You were talking about him not wanting to pay his tithes, and you pay your tithes. When we look at it, and maybe it's just semantics, but when we look at it as paying, like paying a bill, there's a problem. The Bible talks about God wants a cheerful giver. It's giving. It's a gift that we give. Now, should we give? Absolutely. I believe in it 100%. But I'm just saying that sometimes that language, if your husband's not spiritual and you talk about paying something, it becomes a burden instead of a joy. And mm-hmm. and so you got to have to step back and take responsibility. If you're more of the churchgoer, if you see yourself as a more spiritual one, then it's your responsibility to kind of be where your husband is so that you can grow together. But it sounds like you know, you're on the 10th lap and he's still trying to get through lap one on his own spiritual walk. Mm-hmm. And you know, people struggle. Young Christians struggle. You know, people, they're not very spiritual. I just want to encourage you that you're going to have to meet your husband where he is.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
in that, it's going to take you being the really mature. So if two people are immature, forget it. So at least if he's immature, but you're mature, and we were talking about this on the break, you know, with Crescenda talking about some man popping back into her life, and he's like, I don't think so. Uh-huh. But it's like, you know what? If you're the mature one in this case, and you say something like, I'll give you an example. You'll say something like, you know, we're going to work at this together. We're not divorced yet. God allowed us to get married for a reason. Uh-huh. And I'm not saying we move back in together, but we want to do this God's way. Let's start building towards that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. but you know where the healthy aspect needs to come? You can't keep complaining about this man because you chose him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and build him up. If he were to listen, does he listen to the show?
No, he does okay. not.
But can you imagine, how would that help your marriage or you're hoping to work it out if he tunes in and hears you venting and talking bad about him? I mean, you want to be careful. you know, what you say. Paula, hold on one moment. We're going to take a brief break. Then I want to share one more thing with you, and then we're going to continue on with our program. All right? So please hold.
All right. Okay. So you listening, don't touch that dial. If you have not yet called in and you have a question about emotional health, if you or your spouse are emotionally healthy or not, and you're looking for some advice, please give us a call, 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We left off with a conversation with Paula. And we're going to rejoin that conversation. But if you are not yet on the line, we want you to join us now at 855-454-5905. Let's rejoin that call. Paula, are you there?
Yes.
Right. So, Paula, I know you had a little bit of a few minutes here to think after I mentioned that you're emotionally immature as well. And for everyone who's just tuning in, we're you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we're speaking with Paula, who recently called, and we were just talking to her about her relationship with her husband. It's going down the path of divorce. And I really challenged her. I said, listen, you got to look at your maturity, your spiritual maturity. So, Paula, what do you have to say about the comment I made?
I agree with you on the comment that you made, and I never looked at it that way. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, there's some things after thinking about what you said that I need to change as well to be able to meet him, to make him the better man that he should be. I mean, you know, that we both need in the relationship. And when you were saying the part on where I used the word of paying tithes, mm-hmm, instead of giving, that makes a big difference looking at it that way. So I did think about what you said, and I'm glad you brought out that point because that's very important. Sometimes our words can make a big difference in what we say or what we speak. So it does make me kind of take a step back and see how, you know, what I need to do to meet him where he is so we can walk together instead of me feeling like I'm out there and he's behind. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I appreciate your humility there because basically my suggestion is that no matter what happens, that you do your own personal work. So even,
yes,
if he's not willing to go to counseling, you want to get to a place where you're healthy emotionally so that you can have healthy relationships, so that,
yes,
you can even be healthy spiritually. Because the reality is we cannot be healthy spiritually if we're not healthy emotionally. It's just impossible because they're interconnected. They're, you know, you cannot disconnect those two realities of the humanness that God made us.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And Paula, before you go, I have a passage for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll read that briefly. Verse 22, it says, to the weak, I become weak. To win the weak, I become all things to all people so that by all possible means I may save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. And Paul was sharing how you have to meet people where they're at. That doesn't mean you do the same things, but you meet them where they're at. And I think that's what it's going to take for you and your husband. He does sound like he needs to grow in many ways, but so do you. But meet him at that place and say, let's work at this together. You might have rushed into the relationship, but you know, one of the blessings of being, we don't talk about this enough, but one of the blessings of being separated is that you can come back together, but you can also come back together the right way. So you can take the right steps. And so when you are together, you build something that lasts. And Paul, again, I want to say thank you. I appreciate your humility as well. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
God
All
bless.
Right. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Rosetta calling in from the Philadelphia area. Rosetta, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Well, we're doing well. Thank you so much.
That's
everything.
Okay, so Rosetta, you mentioned to our producer that you are divorced and you've learned some things along the way.
Yes, I have, and I appreciate your frankness, and I wish I had the advice that you just gave the young lady that just hung up. Mm-hmm. But I can relate to the other young lady as well that was dating her husband in the midst of we were separated.
Oh, I know what you mean. The one that's about to get divorced literally is a signature away, but she's still with him.
Yes, but okay. We weren't intimate, not that it wasn't my decision, but I've learned a whole lot about me after separation, after divorce, and a lot of things that I regret. That's why I'm grateful that you gave her the advice you gave her.
So what is the greatest lesson you've learned, Rosetta, from this whole, I guess, the divorce, the marriage? What's if you could just share one thing that you really learned, what is it?
Is loving unconditionally. I realized that I didn't, and I regret it. I still love my husband, my ex. If we were to work on us together, I would marry him again.
Wow.
But I know that I still need a lot of help. There's being saved for a long time. Sometimes you think you got it together because you think you matured spiritually.
Yeah.
So I got married late in life. So when I got married, I assumed that, okay, I got this. You know, I love the Lord. He loves the Lord. We got this. But there was a lot of things I didn't know about me that I found out in the marriage and also after the marriage.
You know, I was recently down in Atlanta, Georgia, and I did a marriage workshop. And this young man came up to me, and last time I spoke to him, I had done a workshop about 2 years before, and he was in the process of going through a divorce because his wife was very, you know, emotionally unhealthy, and she walked out on him, walked out on God, walked out, and he was hurting so much. And he pulled me aside this time, and he's like, listen, I got divorced, but my ex-wife and I are dating again. They're dating, and she's back in church. And he's like, what should I do differently? What should I do? And one of the things that I realized is this man loves her. I mean, good, bad, ugly. I mean, he's loved her. But the love could be unconditional, but there's still conditions for the relationship.
Yeah.
And so what I advise him, I said, listen, there are a few things that you have to make sure that if you end up married to her again, they won't repeat themselves. And one of them is when things get really hard, where is she going to run? Is she going to run towards God and towards godly people, or is she going to run away? And I said, you need that time. And so I tell you pretty much the same advice. Is it sounds like you love your husband, but and then that unconditional love is awesome. I love when people share unconditional love, but the relationship still must have conditions. God loves us unconditionally, but the relationship still has conditions. You realize that?
I say that because I was the one that left.
Okay. I understand what you mean. Gave up. You felt like you gave up on the relationship.
Yes.
And what was the reason for your divorce? Was he unfaithful? Was he abusive?
Well, that I don't know. He doesn't talk.
Okay.
So there was a lot of things that happened in the marriage that I tried to get at, and he wouldn't talk.
I hear you. So he shut down, and you were like, I'm done.
I felt left out. I felt like, why am I here?
Wow.
Even to this day, I still, you know, you still want answers.
Yeah.
But I know I'll never get it. So.
Wow. Well, just keep praying. And I tell you this much, if he's not the one and God sends someone your way, you would know what to look for. Someone that can express how they feel. Because sometimes that's worse, right? Like some people I've even heard, I've been in counseling sessions, and they're like, I'd rather you tell me you hate me than not say anything.
Right.
Like just not saying anything is worse. Because what are you thinking? I mean, tell me something. All right. Well, thank you. We really do appreciate, Rosetta, you picking up the phone and calling.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. And I would love to talk to you even more if that's possible.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? You can always, you know, look me up. Just send me a message. We can be in contact. You can look for me on our website, praisephilly.com, and search for me, Marcos Mercado. Send me a message and just remind me of our conversation, and then I'd love to continue.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You have
all
a
right.
blessed day.
Take care.
All
right.
God bless everybody.
You too.
Bye.
But before we go on to the next call, so I'm hearing a lot of couples who are going through or have been through a divorce, and they're learning through that. You know, and I think that really, ideally, don't you want to learn some of these things about yourself before you get into the relationship? Because it's almost like, and I'm learning all this about myself. And don't get me wrong, I think we're always going to learn more and more about ourselves. But we got to get to a point where we figured ourselves out. I think it was earlier, I believe it was Nicole that's like 38, and she's just getting to know herself. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, you know, you really got to be secure and clear about who you are.
Exactly.
And if you've been in, you know, very dysfunctional relationships, I think when you mentioned this, Crescendo, when you had to even go to some therapy and get help, support groups, because you grew up in such a dysfunctional family, that if not, you would take that with you everywhere you go, every relationship. And it's not even a romantic relationship, your own friendships, your church relationships.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even coworkers, you know, it affects everything. Yeah. So what would you say is the best way? You've mentioned a few different ones, but what's the best way to get healthy?
Okay. So I would say to make a decision to do our own work. And I do a workshop about developing emotional intelligence. And so the good news is that emotional intelligence, they're skills. Mm. We're not born with them. We can learn them. We can learn to be aware of ourselves and to understand ourselves and know ourselves. We can learn to have self-control. That's the second skill, or self-management. We can learn to have social awareness. And then also, based on those three skills, we can manage relationships well.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the four skills of emotional intelligence. There's a book called Emotional Intelligence. In mm-hmm. my book, I talk about what emotional intelligence and maturity is. And the one thing that I think about for all of the callers is that, as opposed to being so focused on relationships, mm-hmm. we have to focus on our own spiritual and emotional health, because we cannot have healthy relationships if we're not healthy ourselves.
Yeah, and I'm looking at page 28 of your book here, and there's this little area where you say, learning to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. I think especially for women, it's mm-hmm. sometimes we're trained, or we're taught from, you know, or women are taught from young mm-hmm. that you need someone to take care of you.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting because in one hand, you're hearing, you got to take care of yourself. No one's going to take care of you. But at some point, you need a man who's going to take care of you. And it's like, so which one is it? Do you learn to be, you know, self-sufficient, mm-hmm. independent? You don't need anybody? Or do you have someone to take care of yourself? And I go back to, I think it's balance.
Yes, definitely balance. And that's where emotional intelligence comes in. Because what I mean by that, taking care of myself, was that I was taking care of everybody else, but not taking care of myself.
Mm.
And
I
so I didn't have the opportunity to, you know, get to know myself, to understand myself, you know, to understand what I wanted.
Wow.
You know, somebody asked me here in Philly, are you happy? I'm like, happy wasn't even in my vocabulary.
Wow.
I was so out of touch.
Wow.
You know, so.
And also I would just add, sometimes depending on whatever the dysfunction is, or whatever is going on with you personally, you can be so focused on just being happy and being away from that, that you don't actually realize that you have an issue until something comes up. So based on your question, Marcos, my question to you would be, so what if everything seems like it's fine with you? If you believe you're okay, mm-hmm. you don't think you have any problems, you've not exhibited any behavior that says you have an issue, you get married, and then you're faced with something you've never faced before, and your initial response is based on a hurt that you had that you didn't know you had a bad reaction to.
Yeah, and I think that even comes out in the dating. I mean, if you give it enough time, I mean, my wife and I believe we have a very healthy relationship, but when we first met and we started dating, it was unhealthy because of the past. I think with her, she didn't have a very healthy relationship with her mother. And her mother, you know, she grew up in a single mother's household. And so when I would do something that would kind of remind her of the way she was treated, she would react. I had a pretty bad relationship, a dating relationship before her, a woman that I thought I would marry, that I loved, and I realized that, you know, I broke it off. I was like, this is not going to work. But it broke my heart, and it was difficult. And she was a lot like what we talked about earlier. She was shut down. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, she just wouldn't express and be open, and that was difficult. But I would kind of, I realized I would take that out on my wife. Sometimes my wife, she before she was my wife, she would just be sitting there. We would have a discussion, sometimes a heated argument, and she wouldn't respond. And I'm thinking she's just giving me the silent treatment. But years later, I realized, no, she was just thinking and praying to be wise in the moment, which I appreciate. Mm. But at the moment, I'm thinking she's just being vindictive. And it's like, I'm just not going to talk to you because of the previous relationship. Mm. But I tell you what helped. It helped being around other healthy relationships. Exactly. And talking this out and saying, listen, mm-hmm. sometimes it's better to talk to other people before you talk to each other at the moment. So anyway, we could give a lot of great advice. We want to continue on here with the phone calls as we continue on our topic of being emotionally healthy. Let's go to Darlene, who's calling from Philadelphia.
Darlene, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Thank you.
Darlene, thank you so much for your patience. What is your comment or question for us today?
Well, here, I just want, I'm a first-time caller.
Well, thank you.
A long-time listener. And I just appreciate, I just felt that I needed to call this time.
Okay.
Because emotionally, because I was, as it was stated to me, a young widow.
Mm, how old?
You know, it's been 23 years. Since I lost my husband, mm. and I had a child out of that. And one thing, emotionally, I operated as a mother,
yeah.
not as a woman,
mm.
right? So I was a mother all those years. I raised my son, and I have grandkids.
Okay.
But during that space, before I had grandkids, I didn't know how to accept myself as a woman mm. of that mm. loss. And hearing the show about giving up on relationships, you know, things like that. I was at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I had suitors come, but they said, being particular, not knowing because of the hurt of being a widow.
Mm-hmm.
What I end up doing is I started going exercising because that's one function that you can do by yourself.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
So I built up a regimen of exercising. But then I found social things with other people and other women in certain things that you bond of having a workout. Mm-hmm. Then I end up finding dancing as another source of, you know, social outlet. You know, so I found ways, you know, now I accept myself at this point of being a woman, I guess because I'm being noticed more, but it's still that fear of actually getting involved,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, you know, I listened to the young ladies there in reference to being particular. You
yeah.
don't want to shy off anyone, but at this point, and here the thing is, I'm almost 60. So I want to have, I don't know if, and the thing is, I don't know if it's a relationship or I just want to have, you know, some type of either friendship or some type of activity with the opposite sex that's healthy and fun.
You know, I'm going to share, and I won't give names, but here in Philly, I know of a couple, and the man recently, he was a widower, and he got married a couple years ago at 80. He was 80 years mm-hmm. old, and he's happily married. I love this couple. Mm-hmm. And what I realized, however, at that stage, is not necessarily looking for a spouse, but just having great friendships. And this, I mean, you meet this 80-year-old man. Now he's 82, and he's super active. Like, you wouldn't even think he's 80. I mean, he looks like maybe in his 60s. I mean, he looks that good.
Wow.
But very, very healthy. Refuses, when he goes up the stairs, he refuses to grab the banister. He's like, that's for old people, you know? I mean, you know, he just goes up the stairs, you know, wants to run up the stairs. But I one thing I can tell you is it sounds like to me, Darlene, that at this stage you really need just healthy relationships. And if it leads to something romantic, great. And if it doesn't, great. I mean, it doesn't have to be something so serious unless you take it to that level. But it starts with the friendship. So, for example, you know, you have the holidays coming up. And then after the holidays in a few months, it's Valentine's. And there's a lot of pressure of, you know, being with someone romantic. Well, look, you've been a widow for 23 years. You're 60 years old. You know, it might be good if you have any healthy, mature relationships to go out on a date during the holidays. You know, to if you have these friends and if you don't, you know, making sure you join social events where you can meet people and really start at that friendship level. Someone that just wants mm-hmm. to share their life. But you also want to make sure it's someone healthy and not needy. And I think that that's the biggest challenge we're seeing here. But it sounds like you're getting it to a pretty healthy place. I mean, you've definitely mourned after those 23 years. I think you found a way to, I guess, feel good about yourself, which is working out, you know, and doing all this. I believe there are some great people you could meet that you will find companionship, and it doesn't have to necessarily be romantic. I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, I don't think I can relate to, you know, none of us can necessarily relate to your very specific situation, but we can be objective about, okay, you definitely don't want to go down this road. So what do you guys think, Crescenda and Tiffany?
I just think overall that a lot of times we can possibly fill our life up with activities versus relationships. And we can have so-called relationships that are not on a heart level. I agree that you're progressing and learning a lot emotionally. But there, you know, I wonder even if people even know what emotional intelligence is, you know, if people know what emotional maturity is, because we can't really give love to other people in a healthy way if we don't love ourselves. Yeah. We can't give grace if we don't have it for ourselves, forgiveness or even friendships in a healthy way. So as simple as just, you know, research, Google emotional health, emotional intelligence. And I talk about it in my book also, but I think, you know, just there are assessments that you can take. Where am I right now today? And what do I need to do as far as setting goals to be even healthier? Yeah.
And there's also, I'm a big supporter of journaling. And one of the best things that I've learned throughout my life, I've kept a journal since 93. And one of the things that's great about it is you can actually read over your lifetime, your patterns. So you might not be aware of it, but if you start keeping a journal, you know, a couple months in, read earlier entries to say, wow, do I see a pattern in myself? And then you can start to pick out specific things that you can say, you know, work on at that time.
And if I may, darling, one thing I've learned about relationships is that they have to be a two-way street. From where I am and my wife, even in, you know, in leadership, I pastor a church, I realize you can't have that kind of relationship with everyone. And I think you're something you're going to learn even at now if you decide to kind of venture on and date. You know, Jesus washed people's feet, right? But there are examples of Jesus also allowing his feet to get washed. And I think that's where the healthy relationship comes in. And I think sometimes we just see the one side of it, like, we got to be like Jesus, so we got to wash people's feet. We just got to serve, serve, serve. And guess what? Some people, if you let them, they will always let you serve them.
Yeah.
But then it comes to that point of, wait, no, you know, sometimes it's okay to be served. It's okay. You got to feel okay with that. And I believe me, I tell you, sometimes that's the most uncomfortable part is when you like to give, 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 and you had 23 years, you raised your son, you did a lot. Now you have grandkids, you said? And the temptation could be, I just got to keep giving. Now I gave to my son. I got to give to my grandkids. But it's like, you know what? You need to be given to as well.
Exactly.
You have needs.
Exactly.
And so I just want you to realize that and be okay with that. See, if you're not okay with that, then you're going to be uncomfortable, but then your needs will go unmet.
You're describing me, Marcos.
There you go. All right. Well, Darlene, thank you. Okay. Please, you know, call us back. Share with us your progress.
Thank you very much. God bless.
You're welcome, darling.
Thank you. If you're just tuning in, it's Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're taking your calls on emotional health at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Jay calling in from New Jersey. Jay, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. God bless you.
God bless you.
Good morning.
I'm a valid listener. I'm always listening to your show, and I'm calling today just to make a couple comments.
Okay. If you could do as a favor, Jay, and just speak up a little more. We're having a hard time hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you. We heard what you said, but it sounded low, and this sounds better, so thank you.
That's probably this cheap phone.
Hey, you got to upgrade. See, that's why you should go to... No, I'm not going to endorse any phone. But all right, well, Jay, so I think you mentioned to our producer that you are questioning divorce.
Yeah, I've been married since 2000, and this is actually my second marriage. My first marriage crashed and burned after 6 months. But I was like 19 then. And, of course, like maybe 15, 16 years later, I got married. Mm-hmm. And I married somebody that was younger than me, of course. And they were very mature. They are very mature.
Okay.
And they probably, even though they were younger than me, they probably was more mature than me.
Okay. Well, that's honest.
And I don't know. I was a piece of work.
Okay. Hey, you're really honest. Well, I appreciate that. We definitely all appreciate that.
I was a piece of work. I kind of thought I had a relationship with God, and I thought I knew God then. And had it not been for this person showing me how to really be faithful to God in one aspect, I would have never thought it could have been done.
Okay.
Hmm.
And we still in the same congregation together. I mean, like, we're not together, but we're in the same congregation.
But you're still married.
Yes.
You're just separated.
Yes. She's in ministry. I'm in ministry. Our kids are in ministry. I don't know. My pastor feels like if we can pull it together, like, it would be such an influence on the church that, you know, it would have phenomenal, you know,
sure,
impression.
I can see that.
I don't know. I'm more now in my life at 45. I'm more forgiving. I'm more about redemption. I'm more about second chances than probably ever in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we've talked about getting divorced because she is with somebody else.
Okay.
And we talked about it, and we said that that's what we were going to do, but it hasn't materialized. And so, like, I developed in the last, I don't know, 3-4 years, I developed a prayer life and all of that kind of stuff, which I didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I really look at divorce. I don't look at divorce the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, I know people that got divorced and they still ain't over the people that they divorced themselves.
Sure, sure, I hear that.
And so I don't have a desire to really start over again and try to do something different with somebody different. Like, I really don't. I'm like, at this point in my life, it's like, if I don't be with her, I'm probably not going to be with nobody else anyway.
Okay. Well, let me do this, Jay. Let me interject, because there are a few red flags. So there's good things and bad things that I heard. So I don't know which one you would prefer that I start with, the good or the bad, but I'll let you pick.
Well, give me the bad.
I'll give you the bad. This is probably the biggest red flag. You mentioned that you're both in ministry. You're still married. She's in a relationship with someone. That's a huge red flag. I mean, you're still married. I mean, she's in the eyes of God. You know, God takes marriage very seriously. I mean, for one, he created marriage. And for two, he really does expect it to be forever. There are very few exceptions. And so the fact that you and your wife are still married, but she's with someone else and she's doing ministry, something's off. I mean, it really is a red flag. Now, without knowing all the details and everything, I mean, I have a firm belief that it's better to err on the side of being righteous than not. You know, like, so you could always justify, you know, whenever we do something wrong, we could justify, oh, well, it's this, my situation. But in the eyes of God, you're married. And so she should not be with someone else. And so that's a huge red flag. And of course, how are you going to try to reconcile with someone if they're in that relationship? So I think it starts with, and then this is where I'll say the good. It starts with you being the spiritual leader. And I think you're heading in a really great direction. I mean, just hearing you, it just sounds like you're very sober, like you're maturing, like you've worked on you. And we've talked a lot about that, you know, these last couple hours on our show, about working on you. So it sounds like, from the little bit I've heard, that you would do a great job in leading your wife. Like, you'll be very different than you were even 5 years ago. So that's the good. The bad is, I think she is, there's going to be a lot of damage control there. And there's something sounds off with her relationship with God. Now, I'm not saying that probably there's nothing off with yours, but from what I hear, it just sounds like you're at a better place and you can help her. She's got to be willing. Would she be willing to submit, number one, to God and then to you? Because she'll have to cut off that relationship. I mean, it's not... She shouldn't even be in it. number one. And if it were from God, then she should have been divorced a long time ago. And then she, you know, again, in the eyes of God, you're still husband and wife. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you think? I mean, again, so there's the good and the bad. I'm concerned about her. I'm hearing you, and you sound like, you know, even what you said, it sounds very mature, where if I don't reconcile with her, then I'll probably stay alone for the rest of my life. I mean, man, I commend you, Jay. That is a very healthy place to be. Because sometimes people are just looking for a relationship. So like, if I'm not with her, exactly, I'm just going to find me some woman. And it's like, no, you've been down that road already. This is your second marriage, you know.
Well, yeah, and it's certain, like my mother, God bless her soul, my mother had got married four times before she got married.
Yeah, so you don't want to go down that path.
Right.
Well, but that's a woman. I'm a man.
Okay.
So my emotions aren't on my sleeve like that, where I just got to be with somebody. Like,
okay,
my grandmother actually raised me. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I need a woman for is companionship and love. And
yeah, but that's still a need.
Well, right. But, I mean, like, other than that, I'm self-sufficient. So, like, I don't really.
I understand.
Sometimes everything they do is about a relationship or about being with a woman, the car they drive, the job.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. You.
Like, I'm not into that.
No, you're not. And you're a father, right? You have your own children.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I have three kids. One is actually in your city. She has a Bell Bondsman agency.
Oh, okay.
And
I don't think I need that service, but thank you.
My two youngest are phenomenally in God, and like they have ministries. They mime, and you know they lead the kids worship and stuff. And so like I'm there. You know, if I'm not a couple again, I'm still dad.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, Jay, unfortunately, we really are out of time. I think you brought in some very important questions. This would be my advice to you. But it sounds like your pastor is trying to help you there. Find some good direction. Mm-hmm. And if you decide to move forward, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5 talks about even separation and coming back together. And
right.
So before you come back together, before you even consider that, make sure that you start off on the right foot, getting counseling, of course, that she'll cut off that relationship. But I think you're heading in a great direction, Jay. I want to encourage you to keep going that way. Thank you. Thank you for your call as well.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
Right. You too, Jay. Have a blessed day. I know we just have a few minutes, Tiffany. I think, are we taking this call? All right, we're going to take this call real quick.
All right, let's go to Lena calling in from Philly. Lena, you are our last call, and I hate to rush you, but we're going to have to get right to the point this morning.
Good morning. Right to the point. The only question I have, I've often heard you talk about going to events where you can meet people. So I guess with the kind of work that I've done over the years, I'm just looking for places where I can go and, you know, events and meet Christian people.
Okay. Well, I think that there's two kinds, right? You could either go to like a church event or you can go to a little social event, and then you just use your own wisdom in the sermon and say, okay, is this person a Christian? Or they're not a Christian. I think that our stations are always putting something together. It can mm-hmm. be here, you know, Praise 103.9. It can be, you know, our old school, our sister station.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that especially in Philly, I mean, there's always something going on.
Yeah.
And so... But this is what I would add to that, Lena. Find ways to serve at these events.
Amen.
So like the holidays are coming up, Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. a lot of groups try to do things for the homeless and the needy.
Yeah.
It might be great to be a part of that, because some of the mm-hmm. people you'll meet with that are also serving might have a real like-hearted, like-minded, you
mm-hmm.
know, a spirit that you can connect with.
Numbers or any of these?
I do out of time, but this is what I'm gonna do. We have some of these already posted on our site, which is praisephilly.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so just visit us at Praise Philly, and if you don't see anything yet, there'll be more to come. But we post
also,
events all the time.
Yeah. Also, if you're on Facebook is a good resource to find out different events going on around Philly, especially Christian events.
Yes.
Or non-denominational events. So definitely, if you're not a part of Facebook, I would join Facebook for the purposes of, you know, connecting with old friends, but then to find different groups and activities. So,
and our Facebook page is facebook.com/beyondthevows.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Lena.
Have a great
God
day.
God bless.
Right.
Thank you. All right, so Crescenda, we're at the very tail end of our show, but if someone is interested in getting to know more about you and what you talk about, emotional health, even finding more about your book, where do they find you?
My website is CrescendaJones.com. That's C-R-E-S-E-N-D-A. CrescendaJones.com.
And you know what you do? Just go to PraisePhilly.com. You'll be able to listen to the show again, tell your friends about it, and we'll have that information of how to reach Crescenda. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, lady. And we want to say thank you to our producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.